It's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campobonosi of the Common Sense Campaign, an adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash. And good morning, Dr. Lou.
Well, good morning once again to you, Laurie. It's a beautiful day here. And I really want to thank you for taking a little bit of time for us to get this taped ahead of Memorial Day. I think it's important that we do this and give each other an opportunity to have a three-day weekend at the same time.
Yes.
So that's good. So what I want to do this morning is talk, give us a brief history of Memorial Day, and then listen to President Reagan talk about Memorial Day. And then I want to offer to the audience an opportunity to listen to the Ballad of the Green Berets. Now, I was a Marine and not a Green Beret, but I find that the ballad represents so much of what the American military means, you know? So I get a little choked up with that. But nevertheless, we want to do that. Then I want to talk, you know, briefly about the primary election, what went on with that, and then say a few words about the Uvalde shooting. Obviously, we are just all in trauma over what happened to those poor children and the families. I mean, it's just an outrage that this kind of stuff goes on, and I think it's worth a few minutes of our time just to mention some things that the Wall Street Journal put out in their editorial about how the guardrails that used to be around in society have just kind of, you know, diminished over time, and it's not something that that's all to the good. I mean, you've had these young men who have killed, you know, gone to Stony Brook and other places where we've had a series of these incidents. And so thinking about it for a second would be, I think, worthwhile. And then I'll close with something about Joe Biden and his whole idea that now we're in transition to away from fossil fuels, which, okay, so the message was, don't worry about gas prices being high because they ain't coming down. Revolutionary talk, folks, but nevertheless. So let's now turn to Memorial Day, okay? I will be going to the Memorial Day ceremony in Mobile at the cemetery there on Virginia Street. I always go, and it is a really good ceremony at 9 o'clock in the morning. So just if you can make that, that's great. Other places have memorial services. Blakely Cemetery usually has something around 11 o'clock in the morning. So if you're listening to this and you hear this, you can still get out to Blakely. So why do we do Memorial Day? Well, it started after the Civil War, and essentially by 1866, what you were seeing was people were putting decorations, and it became called Decoration Day. Decorations of flowers and having people come out and say prayers over the cemeteries. The first one at Arlington Cemetery was with General Garfield, and he basically talked to 5,000 people were in a cemetery that had 20,000 Civil War veterans. As time went on, other people started to think about this in broader terms. General Logan, another Civil War Northern veteran, looked at this as something that should be done nationwide. And so he basically made the point that May 5th of 1866 was the day that he thought it was important to do, and that's the first one that we look at. Generally considered to be the birthplace of it was Waterloo, New York. Other places have been doing similar things. The argument was made by Congress in the 70s that Waterloo seemed to be the best place to go. So that's the short history of it. The day evolved from Decoration Day to Memorial Day over time, especially after World War I, when we had so many more thousands of our young American military who had died as a result of World War I. That expanded the base of the memorial to not just Civil War people, and of course it's grown to include all of America's wars, the most recent ones through Iraq and Iran, Iraq and Afghanistan. So here again, we get to the point where people are thinking about Memorial Day and the sacredness of the day, And I'd like to just let you listen to President Reagan for a short period of time in one of his Memorial Day expositions. So Laurie's going to play that for us right now.
In America's cities and towns today, flags will be placed on graves and cemeteries. Public officials will speak of the sacrifice and the valor of those whose memory we honor. I have no illusions about what little I can add now to the silent testimony of those who gave their lives willingly for their country. Words are even more feeble on this Memorial Day, for the sight before us is that of a strong and good nation that stands in silence and remembers those who were loved and who, in return, loved their countrymen enough to die for them. Yet we must try to honor them, not for their sakes alone, but for our own. And if words cannot repay the debt we owe these men, surely with our actions, we must strive to keep faith with them and with a vision that led them to battle and a final sacrifice. Our first obligation to them and ourselves is plain enough. The United States and the freedom for which it stands, the freedom for which they died, must endure and prosper. Their lives remind us that freedom is not bought cheaply. It has a cost. It imposes a burden. And just as they whom we commemorate were willing to sacrifice, so too must we, in a less final, less heroic way, be willing to give of ourselves. Each died for a cause he considered more important than his own life. Well, they didn't volunteer to die. They volunteered to defend values for which men have always been willing to die if need be, the values which make up what we call civilization. And how they must have wished, in all the ugliness that war brings, that no other generation of young men to follow would have to undergo that same experience. As we honor their memory today, let us pledge that their lives, their sacrifices, their valor shall be justified and remembered for as long as God gives life to this nation. And let us also pledge to do our utmost to carry out what must have been their wish, that no other generation of young men will ever have to share their experiences and repeat their sacrifice. Earlier today, with the music that we have heard and that of our national anthem, I can't claim to know the words of all the national anthems in the world, but I don't know of any other that ends with a question and a challenge as ours does. Does that flag still wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? That is what we must do.
Well,
that's beautiful.
You just heard something really significant, and I think it's important to understand, you know, a couple of points that the president made. You know, freedom must endure. Are we in a situation today where freedom is under attack? You bet you we are. And it's probably worse today than any time since the Cold War. I mean, in reality, this question about freedom not being free, again, it's self-evident. It isn't free. It can't be free. And it means that people in our country have got to be able to rise to the occasion, which we have done. You look at how our military responded to the war on terror, the sacrifice and the bravery, you know, year after year. It's just incredible, you know. There was a quote from one of the admirals out of during the Korean War. Where do we get these brave men? And I know that in today's world it's sexist to say that, but I mean, forget about all that. We're talking about the individuals who rise to the occasion. And that's something that we have to be able to count on. And that's why it is so important that this question about what our kids are being taught comes to light, and that this issue about Common Core and critical race theory, they have got to be taken out of the schools if we are going to have another generation that will rise to the occasion as all of these previous generations have. You cannot undermine the faith in our country and think that people are going to rally to the flag under pressure. You can't do it. You know, if this country isn't worth saving because of all of the past history that the BLM and Antifa people say, then we might as well give it up now. But we are not going to give it up. We're not giving it up to these radicals and their insanity. And the fact of the matter is, we will prevail. But it's not without sacrifice. It's not without a fight. And we need all of you folks in this fight. You know, the president talked about, you know, the idea that, you know, the valor that has been shown is not forgotten. You bet that's true. We can't forget those things. And I would argue that, you know, supporting our values, he framed it along the lines of civilization. Okay, I get that, but we can't control that. What we can control is defending the values that made this country great. You know, the ideas of liberty, the ideas of justice, all of those kinds of ideas. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. You know, those are the kinds of values that are worth, you know, our efforts to defend this country no matter what. So I don't know. I like the idea that, you know, the flag still waves the way it is. And I think that one of the things that I would like to just close on in terms of this is listening to the Ballad of the Green Berets. And it seems to me that that's exactly, it says exactly what is necessary for us to be able to prevail. You know, fighting soldiers from the sky, willing to die. You know, pin those wings upon my son's chest. I mean, you know, it means something. And by God, we're going to make sure it continues to mean something. Let's listen to it.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men we'll test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men we'll test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on
my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Well, Laurie, I mean, put silver wings on my son's chest.
This is very emotional.
No, it really is.
And thank you for bringing the reality of the meaning of this day, that so many of us go to the beach and we have a day off,
right.
And
yeah,
this really makes us think about what the day is about and who we're honoring.
Well, I hope so. I hope so for our country's sake, because if we ever lose the willingness to, you know, take time to honor those who died for all of us, then we're certainly on the path to ending up like Rome, really. So I mean, there we are, folks. I mean, I know this is a, you know, talk show that, well, it's not actually a talk show. It's a radio show that we talk about political things. And to a very large degree, defending the country has become a political issue. There are just too many of these people, BLM and Antifa, that don't see the utility or the reasons why we should defend a society that had past problems. And I suggest to you, as I have said on numerous occasions, particularly when we were talking about critical race theory, number one, these people don't have history right. The fact of the matter is that 1619 wasn't the beginning of the American attempt to see itself as a new nation. The fact of the matter is that the revolution wasn't fought because the slave owners here were afraid that they were going to lose their slaves. I mean, that is such bunk. And yet, this lady gets a Pulitzer Prize for saying this stuff. I mean, the world is inverted when you have these kinds of things. And so the big slap against this country, slavery was terrible, all the rest of it that followed, blah, blah, blah. And yet, they totally forget the major reforms that have taken place during the 1960s, the Dr. King-inspired revolution for civil rights. That doesn't matter to these people. What matters is they want to use the past to get their way for a Marxist revolution. And that Marxist revolution has never succeeded anywhere. What has succeeded is what we've done. So I'll leave it at that and just say that, you know, it's time that we stand tall and make sure that what has been accomplished in the past can be, you know, replicated in the future. A capitalist republic that has opportunities for all. You know, freedom ain't free, and we better start fighting for the freedoms that we have, because people like Biden and all the rest of them are in this for different reasons. They do not want to see a continuation of what has been successful in the past. And they can use all the arguments they want, but they all fall short. And we know it, they know it, but it doesn't matter to them. They want the power to destroy what this country means. And we are not going to let them do it. It's just that simple. Okay, folks, so let's talk about the election of a couple of days ago, May 24th, the primary. Were you shocked that Governor Ivey did as well? Laurie shaking her head, yes. Okay.
Everyone presumed a runoff.
Yes, the presumption was quite real. So why didn't that happen? Okay, well, here's a macro argument. Only 20% of our people down here came out to vote. Now, you would have thought that with Ivy trying to stick us with a $6 toll, we might have wanted to try to poke back at her by coming out in huge numbers to say, go back to your place wherever you're from in Alabama. Okay? But we didn't. We didn't. So that's a problem. Okay? The second thing that is interesting to note, it looks as though about 75,000 Democrats voted in the Republican primary for a variety of reasons. I mean, the Democrats have no one to, you know, to really kind of look to. And Ivy has done a lot of things that the Democrats like. Oh, my God, Dr. Liu, you can't say that. Oh, yeah, I can say it, you know. And you know why I can say it? Because it's true. Okay? Who does things like, let's take away your right to vote for their state board of education member? Who does things like raise your taxes on gas? Notice how this little thing that they did to the inflation component to it, it's already added another 2 cents, and yet the gas is now not at $1.50 when they did this, but no, it's at $4.19 or $4.29, wherever you can find a good deal. That's the good deal today, $4.19 or $4.15. Hey, flock to that gas station. So just don't tell me that she's done things that the Democrats would like. Okay, keep that one to yourself. So at any rate, we don't show up. She gets reelected without a runoff. Marvelous, okay? There is a question about, you know, why 20% only showed up. And my thoughts along these lines are that, number one, apathy has been an issue for political science teachers to talk about forever and ever. Okay, there's always going to be an apathy issue, no doubt. Okay, but for us, it seems to me that when you start digging into the reasons for people not going to the polls, or when they get to the polls, as I mean, I'm out there waving signs at Three Circle Church and other places, and people don't know who to vote for, okay?
I heard that quite often.
Yeah, I mean, it's a reality. So let's...
And I heard, I'll just wait for the general election.
Yeah, I mean, that's another issue, right. I mean, it's kind of too late. So let's examine, you know, why is it that people come to the polls and not knowing anything? Well, how about this? Last Sunday, and I think I'm 99.9% sure, the only time that we've seen a ballot in the press register was last Sunday, the Sunday before the daggum election, okay? So you've got Monday and Tuesday to digest. Well, actually, you have Sunday and Monday to digest and Tuesday to go vote. So do you think you're going to have adequate time? Because all the ballot is showing who's running. It doesn't say a damn thing about who these people are. Now, if you plugged into the Common Sense campaign, and we tried to explore all these, we actually had a ballot that showed who to vote for. And you say, well, what right do you people have to tell people who to vote for? Well, I guess we don't have a right as much as a duty to try to explain to people, here are some conservative candidates that we feel comfortable telling you can trust to vote for, okay? So again, once again, we get back to citizen awareness. How aware are the citizens that there's even a stupid election, okay? What about TV news? We happen to tape Channel 15. Don't ask me why we tape 15. Who cares? It doesn't matter. I didn't see a whole lot of public service messages from either local officials, mayors, you know, Simpson. I didn't see him on the TV. And I could have missed it, I admit. Okay, could have missed it. But where are the public officials saying, get out to vote? Why weren't they making public service announcements 2 weeks before the event to get people thinking about this? Yeah, I gotta get going, gotta think about who I'm voting for, blah, blah, blah. You know, it just seems to me that, you know, aside from the fact that I gave up my subscription to the Stupid Press Register, goes so far to the left I can't stand it. But I do buy the paper on Sunday so that I can come to Lori and say I'm halfway ready to talk about things.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, it's a joke. But just because it's a joke doesn't remove them of the responsibilities to put something in there to kind of push forward the idea of civic duty. Go vote, you know? All right, so I'll get off that rant.
I think a lot of people are skeptical and bitter about their vote counting, especially what we saw in the presidential election.
Well, I don't deny that there's a certain element about that, and you certainly saw that in Georgia when they lost those two GOP senators because people were mad, blah, blah, blah. I get that. But that doesn't make sense to give the Democrats power after they essentially screwed Trump. But however that works out, it's Alabama. So can we trust the Alabama electoral system? Well, I mean, you know, Mike Lindell just filed an injunction last week against John Merrill and the Secretary of State's office to try to, you know, hold up the election because of certain irregularities he claimed. A judge threw that out, so the election was held. This is an ongoing issue in terms of electoral integrity. I mean, the fact of the matter is you've got, you know, a Secretary of State's runoff coming up. Both candidates talk about election integrity, okay? John Merrill has been rated very highly in terms of how well Alabama did. Other Heritage Foundation pointed out some problems he had. So whether or not this is an A-plus gold standard Alabama election system, or whether it's an A-minus or a B-plus or a B, it's not what you saw in Michigan and Wisconsin and Arizona and places like that, okay? So I guess my point is, I think we can trust the electoral system. Having said that, out of Etowah County, because of the redistricting, there were precincts that had to have more than one ballot, okay? And evidently, there was an individual who was running, and the ballots that were supposed to have his name on it weren't there the day of the race. Now, you think about this. Was this because of human error? Okay, that's a possibility. I mean, we're not into zero defects here. But guess what? According to what the radio report that I heard, the people who were running that precinct knew about this for 2 weeks. Okay, so do you think for just a second that they didn't want that guy's name being taken care of to vote on?
Was this local?
No, Etowah County, up there North Alabama. Okay, so that's, I mean, but the point is, 2 weeks and they don't get it done? I'm sorry, that's a little bit suspicious, folks, okay? And we had an issue here at Three Circle Church. Someone who was in the district that a friend of his was actually on the ballot, and he wanted to vote for her. And the ballot that he got did not have her name. Now they sorted it out. Okay, they fixed it. All right. Human error. Is that a reasonable assumption? In that case, yes, I think it's true. But an Etowah County problem? I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping that Secretary of State Merrill is looking into that one and finding out, you know, why this is the case. But my argument here is that there's always going to be a problem. I get that, okay? But if it's human error, we can live with it. You know, you can fix it at the time or you can fix it later. But if it's you know, deliberate mishandling of a ballot in order to help someone else, then obviously that person needs to go to jail. And Merrill has pointed out that we have sent people to jail for election fraud, different types of election fraud, but it's there. So again, we're back to this question of, you know, does the election system, you know, deserve our support and belief? I mean, I'm 95% there with it, okay? But it remains to be tested to see, you know, how how these machines actually do work. Are the machines, you know, unable to be taken by internet interference? That's something that's claimed that it can't be done. I think it's an interesting question that should be shown to the public one way or another. Okay, so Lori's giving me the high sign. We're kind of start wrapping this up. Let's talk quickly about some of the races that are affected by runoffs, okay? Number one, Britt and Brooks, okay? We have supported Mo Brooks all along, and we urge you to vote for Mo Brooks. In the Secretary of State's office, Wes Allen against Jim Ziegler, we have supported Ziegler in many races, and this one included vote for Ziegler. In the auditor's race, Andrew Sorrell versus Chris Cook, I think his name is, we have supported Sorrell. In the public service, now this is important, okay? Public Service Commission, place one, Odin versus Woodhull. We endorsed Woodhull, and I'm glad to see that he's in the runoff. For Public Service Commission, place two, we had supported Robin Leidecker. And the last week of the race, they started doing the typical thing. They started smearing her as a tree hugger, as a far left radical, blah, blah, blah. So our support for Robin did not help her. The smears hurt her. And so what you ended up getting there is cheap Chip Beaker, but he did not walk in without a runoff. And so another guy by the name of McCollum, and we will support him, and he will be endorsed by us within the next couple of weeks. We would argue vote for McCollum. He's a reformer. If we get McCollum and Woodhull in the Public Service Commission, we have an opportunity to reform the Public Service Commission. All right. So, Lori, there's our Memorial Day summary for the election. It's going to have to be, I think our next meeting, if I'm not mistaken, is Monday, the 6th of June, which is D-Day.
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
I'll be looking forward to a history lesson.
Yes, we'll have a history lesson, okay? But I want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to take a close look at your schedules and start planning for the 21st of June. It'll be a Tuesday for the runoff election. Go to the commonsensecampaign.org and you'll find information there. So I don't know, folks. Take care. Hope you've had a great Memorial Day. Lori, you have a great Memorial Day. Thank you for taping it ahead of time.
And thank you.
See you all on D-Day. Bye.
Thank you, Dr. Lou. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review, brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne on 98 and in Malbus on 181 with the state-of-the-art car wash. If you missed part of the show or want to tell a friend, you can listen to it online at WABF1480.com.